Support for Impact Cincinnati comes from Murray and Robin Sinclair.
Good morning. This is Impact Cincinnati on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. Hundreds of Greater Cincinnati children are waiting to be adopted. We're going to talk this morning about these children and what you can do if you're interested in adopting. Joining me are Adoption Connection of Cincinnati Director Sherry McCarthy, Program and Adoption Services Director of Catholic Charities of the Diocese of Covington, Monica Kuhlman, and Hamilton County Department of Job and Family Services Director Moira Weir. We would like to hear your questions and your comments. You can email them to impact@wvxu.org or post them on our Facebook page. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
It's difficult to even know where to start because I think there's so much to talk about this morning. A good place, I think, though, is for each of you to briefly explain what your organizations are all about and how you function in terms of adoptions. And Sherry, we'll start with you.
Okay. We are Adoption Connection. We are a private child placing agency. What that means is that we place only children who have been voluntarily surrendered. So their birth parents make the choice to place them for adoption. We work with birth parents who are working through their decision and are needing counseling and support services. And we also work with prospective adoptive parents who are seeking to adopt. We walk them through the home study process, the preparation, and then towards placement.
Monica?
Catholic Charities is a multi-service agency, and the adoption and pregnancy counseling programs are part of it. And we, too, place with adoptive parents, and the children come from our birth parents who come for counseling. And we are very heavy on education and preparation. We do a lot of counseling and coaching throughout the whole process, even while people are waiting. And our focus is on good mental health for everyone that's involved in the process.
Moira?
Yes, we actually look to place children that come to us through the foster care system typically. Most of those children, we do have parents that will approach us and voluntarily agree to place their child with us. But typically when kids come to us, they're there because their family's not able to care for them. So it's usually because there's been an issue of abuse or neglect. So after we've tried to work with the family and reunification is not possible, then we seek to permanently commit the children and then they become available for adoption through that process. On any given day, we have about 890 children in foster care, and we have about 190 children currently waiting to be adopted.
What about 190? That's with JFS. What about in your organizations? How many children do you have waiting to be adopted, or is there a waiting list of adoptive parents waiting for children?
With Catholic Charities, there's a waiting list of couples waiting to adopt. But we don't have any children that are waiting. When birth parents are in the process of making a decision, and if they're as sure as they can be, then they choose an adoptive couple, and often they meet ahead of time. And then once the baby's born, the baby almost always goes home directly from the hospital with the adoptive couple in a foster-to-adopt situation.
Sherry?
It's the same with our organization. We do not have children that are waiting. We always have adoptive parents that are seeking to adopt. And in most cases, the babies go directly home from the hospital.
Now, this is kind of an interesting situation when you look at that, because on your end, you have lots and lots of parents that want to adopt. Moira, your organization has so many children that need adoption. Why do you think there's such a difference? Is it because these kids are coming from difficult situations where the parents aren't necessarily in agreement with the adoption?
Well, I think probably there's lots of factors that play into this. I think number one, typically our children are older. Most of our children are 13 years and older. They have unfortunately come from a situation where they have been exposed to abuse or neglect, or they themselves have been abused or neglected, and they have emotional or physical scars from those circumstances. Sometimes our children might say that they don't want to be adopted, so we really have to work with them. They've had so many disappointments, so we're working with them on wanting to accept the chance of that and also hope that they don't have another disappointment. We actually have about 300 families that are interested in adopting through us as well, but for us it's a careful and thoughtful process, as it is with any adoption, in terms of how we make sure that we're matching the child's needs best with a family that can manage our children in terms of their behavior, their emotional needs, and the support that they're going to have going forward. So I think that's probably the main difference that we would see. We get very few infants. I think a lot of people generally want to have an infant. Let's face it, teenagers can be challenging in the best of circumstances. So when you have a child that's had lots of disappointments, that has had heartache, it's a little bit more challenging.
Who can adopt? Who makes a good adoptive parent? What are you looking for in adoptive parents? And I imagine it's slightly different with each of your organizations.
Yeah, I think with us, it's couples that are willing.
Catholic Charities.
Yes, couples who are willing to learn about adoption, because it's not just a situation where you have a birth mother who doesn't want her baby and a couple that wants a baby, and it's a very difficult decision to let go of a baby for adoption. So we really want our couples to be willing to learn about what goes into that and what birth parents go through when they make that decision. And also we want them to be willing to learn about issues that children could have as they grow up. Now, not all adopted children have issues, but we'd like them to be prepared for whatever they're faced with.
Sherry?
We often tell our families when they first come to us that we're not looking for perfect parents. There are none of those. But what we are looking for are families that are flexible, that are willing to learn, that are willing to work with us. It's a big commitment for prospective adoptive parents. We require a lot of education, a lot of training, ongoing communication with us, you know, prior to a placement, during the placement, after the placement. So we're looking for families that we can partner with and that we feel are really committed to providing the best that they can for this child.
I think we all are looking for the same thing. I mean, you really want a family that's going to take in a child and treat that child as their own and love them. And so a lot of it for us is, you know, just really educating families about the children that come to us. And I also would like to say that even though children come into our system and we end up having to place them adoptively, that doesn't mean that the parent, that their birth parent didn't love them and care for them. They just were unable to overcome obstacles and things that prevented them from providing a safe home for their child. So a lot of times it's working with the child, too, to let them know that their birth family did love them and care for them, and they will be loved and cared for in their new home. So it's really trying to make sure you're educating everybody about those challenges, but also knowing that the child is loved and cared for and will be treated as a member of the family.
Are all of the adoptions now open adoptions?
Open adoptions have been around, gosh, as part of more general practice, probably for the last 20 years. It's rare that a birth mother would come to us and say, I want a completely closed adoption. And openness can range from a one-time meeting to fully disclosed information and an ongoing relationship. Openness can also include just pictures and letters, but it provides a lot of comfort to a birth parent to know that their child is having the kind of life that they wanted them to have because they were not able to provide for that child at the time. And it also provides some comfort to the adoptive parents because they love their child so much and they have a lot of gratitude to the birth parent for allowing them to become parents.
Sure.
The majority of our placements have openness to some degree, and how I explain it to prospective adoptive parents who sometimes are a little bit nervous about even the concept of an open adoption is that you have to look at it on a continuum from totally closed on one end to totally open on the other, and most adoptions end up somewhere in the middle. The benefit of being connected with the agency is that we often act as that intermediary person. Oftentimes meetings that are held after placement are at the agency. There can be a social worker there. So, you know, we are there to support and to assist families and birth parents to build the relationship. And that's how we view openness. It's building a relationship.
Maura?
I think I would agree with everything that's said, and we would encourage that. It really sometimes depends upon the history with the child in terms of what were the circumstances that brought the child into our care and whether there's safety concerns or any threats of that nature. But in Hamilton County, we're very fortunate that about 70% of our foster parents end up adopting children once they become available. And again, we're very lucky because our foster parents are really trained to work with birth parents, so they already have that relationship. And assuming it's a healthy and safe relationship, we would hope that would continue through the adoption process and then post-adoption.
Yes.
there are situations where openness really can't work, and in situations like that, then the agency will put boundaries on that. And it may be if a birth parent is really wanting information that it comes through the agency. There are times where we have to say no, we can't provide that.
What kind of a situation would that be?
If you have a birth parent who is actively involved in addiction, involved in criminal activity, or if someone is mentally ill, we tend to look at open adoptions being as healthy as the people participating. And you can't be asking an adoptive parent to include something like that in their in a relationship with a birth parent.
We're talking this morning about adoption, and I have many, many questions from listeners and from our Facebook page. So we're going to take a short break, and we'll continue our discussion in a moment. If you have a question, please feel free to post it to our Facebook page. That's 91.7 WVXU, or send an email, impact@wvxu.org.
Support comes from Cookies by Design. Cookies by Design features personalized, detailed, decorated bouquets that say, I love you for Valentine's Day. Heartfelt, handmade wishes, gifts that taste as good as they look. Local preparation with same and next day delivery to the tri-state area and now Dayton at 793-9997. That's 793-9997.
Support comes from the Cincinnati Waldorf School, the area's only Waldorf school, hosting an open house this Saturday from 10 to 1 at their main campus near Mount Airy Forest. The Cincinnati Waldorf School inspires learning by integrating art, music, and movement into a classical academic curriculum. Information at cincywaldorf.org.
Support comes from Affordable Language Services, offering American Sign Language interpreting services with specialized interpreters at your location in the greater Cincinnati area and other U.S. cities. Or Affordable Language Services can connect you with a telephonic interpreter regardless of location. You can discover more online at affordablelanguageservices.com.
This is Impact Cincinnati on 91.7 WVXU. We're talking today about adoption. My guest, Adoption Connection of Cincinnati Director Sherry McCarthy, Program and Adoption Services Director of Catholic Charities of the Diocese of Covington, Monica Kuhlman, and Hamilton County Department of Job and Family Services Director, Moira Weir. If you have a question, you can email it to impact@wvxu.org. Also post it on our Facebook page. And I want to get to a lot of those questions now because we have many already. This one comes from Tanya, who says, we have one biological child and have exhausted the biological avenue to adding to our family. We're 43 and fear this is a barrier, but feel that we can provide a loving home. We don't want to feel defeated out of the starting gate, but have been regaled with horror stories. Your advice?
Well, with Catholic Charities, our requirement is that you make an initial application prior to turning 45. So that being said, being 43 is not an issue. Our birth parents do choose the adoptive couples by looking at albums, and ages is some information that is disclosed in the albums. But what we've found is it isn't necessarily the age that is the important factor to the birth parent. It's more someone that might be able to provide a home that the birth parent didn't have, or they provide a home similar to what the birth parent has. There are just lots of different factors that go into that.
Moira?
You can adopt at any age with us. I mean, what we're looking for is that somebody that is, you know, physically healthy, they're well, they're able to provide care. So age is not a limiting factor for us. They have to have a supply a home that can meet the child's needs, be willing to go through the various trainings and background checks and all the assessment process. Mm-hmm. But that's as long as you're 18 years or older, we would welcome any family.
And for Adoption Connection, there is no age restriction as well, so that would not be a factor. The fact that you are already parenting a child in some cases would be a plus, because we do have birth parents who are hoping that their child will be raised with a sibling, and that's one way that they can guarantee that their child will be raised with other children in the home.
This comes from Cole, who says, My husband and I have just bought our dream house. We'll be 30 and 28 this summer. We've been married 5 years, together for 10, and we want to adopt a sibling set of between 3 and 5 children. We won't be ready to do this for probably another 24 months. Should we start the process now or when? They're not interested in adopting infants, and they want to know if that'll make the process quicker.
Well, I would say start the process now, and we have many, many sibling sets available through Hamilton County, actually. So it would be wonderful to be able to find a home for our kids.
So do it now, even though they're not ready.
Start the process now. I think everybody would agree with that. Start the process now, because it can take time if you have to get certain information through the home assessment process, you know, allowing a social worker to come into your home and talk to you and just kind of make sure you're in the right place and kind of talk to you about the kids that are available through all of our organizations.
In Ohio, a home study, once it is approved, is good for 2 years. And after that 2-year point, then you would need to update the home study, but that's much less of a difficult process than an initial home study. So I would say if you are serious and really considering moving forward with an adoption, start the process now, because even once you're approved, you still have 2 years where your home study is valid.
Sarah wants to know, how does having one partner diagnosed with a mental illness, depression, anxiety, bipolar disorder, et cetera, affect a couple's ability to adopt?
With Catholic Charities, you need to be physically and emotionally healthy and able to meet the needs of a growing child. And we would look at people in that arena on a case-by-case basis.
We typically would ask the applicants to provide us with a release so that we can speak with their therapist or medical provider. We would want to know what is their history of mental health issues and how has that been managed. And in the same case, if there is a medical concern or a mental health concern, we want to know what plan they might have in the event that they would have any difficulties or concerns in the future. We want to make certain that this child is in a safe, stable environment and that there is an appropriate plan should that be necessary.
Our responses are the same. I mean, it's just about how are they managing their mental health and ensuring through talking to their therapist or their doctor that they are managing it, and if they're on medication, that they're managing the medication. I mean, the important thing is making sure that the home is stable and it's safe for a child that they bring into their home.
Kathy wants to know where they should start to get more information about adoption. I think starting listening to this program is a great place. And we do have information from all of you on our website at wvxu.org. But where else or what else should they do when they're just in the very beginning stages?
With Adoption Connection, we have monthly orientations. There's no charge for those. They're listed on our website, so you can come to an orientation. That's a good place to start. We take a lot of time just discussing the process and how adoption works with our agency and with Ohio. If you are living in Ohio, then you would be working with an Ohio agency. If you reside in Kentucky, then you would need to call and talk to Monica, because you would need an agency that's licensed in Kentucky. And the rules are different depending on the state. So my suggestion would be start with an orientation. Look at the local offerings for seminars and resources. There are things out there that will give you an opportunity to learn about adoption. And I would say that's the first place to start.
And we do individual orientations with people if they meet our eligibility requirements, which are on our website. Then we will meet with them individually and walk them through our program. And if they feel comfortable and feel it's a good fit, they are welcome to make an application. But there is also the Kentucky Adoption Coalition that has most of the licensed agencies within the state of Kentucky as members. And they do have a website, and you can click on any of the members on their list and go directly to the website of that agency. So that's a good place to start.
I would just add to that, I think it's always helpful too to talk to other people that have gone through the process.
Absolutely.
I think they can be a great resource.
Right.
As well as I always encourage people, you know, start looking on our website for the kids that are available, you know, and start to look through and see, you know, things that you are willing to accept or that you think you could manage versus behaviors that you might not be able to manage. And that helps kind of focus in on your what you think you could handle, your family could manage.
We've had this question from several people. I'll bring it to you, your attention through Madeline, who says, I believe that second parent adoption, well, this is actually, it's about gays and adopting and commenting on gays and adopting. And Madeline's question is, second parent adoption for same-sex couples is still illegal in Ohio. That unnecessarily destabilizes the kid's life if the recognized parent is incapacitated. She believes it makes no sense, cruel to kids and surviving partner. Your thoughts in general about adoption with gay couples and the idea of having two members in that same-sex couple?
Well, at Adoption Connection, we certainly work with same-sex couples, but in Ohio, in those situations, one of the couple would be the adopting parent, and the other would be considered another adult household member. That's how the home study would be conducted.
Yes, and we would work with both members of the family and continue to, they would have the same training, they would have the same kind of information, and I think outside of that, legally, there are things that families have done after the adoption process to help up, you know, to help shore up anything in the event that something happened to one of the, to the person that was, I guess, on the legal document.
So that is true, though, if the same-sex couple, if something happens to one of the partners, then that adoption is invalidated?
There's legal things that you can do. You know, you can go see an attorney to help make arrangements so that in the event that something would happen that you could have those in place outside the adoption process.
What about a two-sex couple? Are they allowed to, if one of the partners, the husband or the wife dies that or something happens that the other person is incapacitated, is that same situation true there or is that not true? It's just with same-sex couples.
It would be the same. Mm-hmm. I mean, it would be like any of us planning for what would happen to our partner if something happened, what would be the legal responses that would come into play.
Kate wants to know, is it possible to distinguish from children being put up for adoption voluntarily by their parents versus children who have had an intervention by Job and Family Services? And I think you've basically answered that, but that's always a parent. Is that true?
Well, in our case with Adoption Connection, we do not place children that have been removed from homes. So all of our placements are voluntary placements. But in any case where an adoption is going to take place, the prospective adopting parents are going to want to learn everything that they can about the history of this child and where this child has been, whether it's a newborn coming straight out of the hospital or a child that has been in other placements.
I mean, obviously, the vast majority of our children are coming from a situation where they've been removed or the parent has agreed to allow us to remove the child. But we would give all that information, you know, if the history of the child's important to provide to either the foster parent or the adoptive parents, that they have a sense of what the child's been through, kind of the things that they can anticipate in terms of behaviors and working with therapists on that.
And I think it's important, like Sherry said earlier, that we partner with our couples and that if anything, you're working toward things being successful. So you're not asking a couple to take on something that they don't feel comfortable with. And the only way they're going to know if they're comfortable with it is having all the information that we can possibly give them.
Now, we're talking clearly here about domestic adoptions. Amy wants to know the difference, perhaps, between a domestic adoption versus an international adoption and why people are going the international route.
Mm-hmm. Adoption Connection does help to facilitate international adoptions. We are not an international agency, but we would work with Ohio couples that are going to need an approved Ohio home study. So we would help them to complete their home study. And then at that point, basically, they are handed off to an international agency that can be located anywhere in the United States. They are then working with the international agency who has the direct link to the country. Once the child comes home to them, then we are back in the picture because we are providing post-placement services, supervision, and resources. We would be doing sometimes monthly reports, sometimes every 3 months. It depends on what the country is requiring. So we are seeing this family, we are writing reports, and then those reports go to their international agency and then to the country where these children have been adopted.
So once somebody adopts internationally, then it's not like once the country approves it, they're done. They still have follow-up throughout that child's life.
It depends on the country. Some international adoptions, the adoption is finalized in that country, but the country and the international agencies typically have a regimen that they want us to follow so that these families have support once they come home. So, you know, typically we are seeing them, you know, every few months writing reports from some country, children from some countries, Eastern European countries, we see them for up to 3 years and reports are required.
There's some talk, and the question also asked the benefit or why some people mm-hmm. are choosing the international adoption. Is it because mm-hmm. it's easier to get babies? Or are there other reasons?
I think in the past, because there were more babies available, I think that is changing. Really, the face of international adoption is changing significantly in the last few years. Many countries that were placing a lot of children in the United States are now closed. So we are not seeing nearly as many international adoptions as we used to.
This is Impact Cincinnati on 91.7 WVXU. We're talking about adoption. If you have a question, you can email it to impact@wvxu.org or post it on our Facebook page, which is 91.7 WVXU. This is from Kyle, who says, we'd like to adopt. We've been led to feel that our atheism is probably the largest barrier to overcome for our eligibility to adopt. What advice do your guests have for us?
That would not be an issue for us at all. I'm from Hamilton County. I mean, we really are looking for, again, a family that's willing to take in a child. You know, we really want to educate them about the child's needs and what the family can manage, and that would not be an issue for us.
It would not be an issue for us at Adoption Connection. We respect the wishes of the birth parent, and if the birth parent has a desire that a child be placed in a home where a certain faith is practiced, we would respect their wishes, but we would not have a restriction on families that are not practicing a faith.
And that's true for my organization, too.
Very good. What about different races? Are there any concerns that children be placed in the same race family, or does it matter?
We have children of all races placed in families of all races. It doesn't matter. We prepare all of our families equally so that they can adopt a child that they feel best fits in their family.
And we, along with that, will respect the request of the birth parent, because the birth parent may want the child placed with the family of their same race. I mean, we respect that.
Marla? You know, we don't look at that. It really comes down to what is best for the child and what, you know, matching up the child's needs with the family that's best able to meet the needs of the child and make sure that the child is cared for and loved.
We are almost out of time. Last pieces of advice for people that are interested in adopting.
Well, I think making yourself as informed as possible, and being patient and being persistent, because it's not something that you just decide to do and walk like you're walking into a store to make a purchase. I mean, it's something that requires a information and patience and persistence.
And I would suggest that people learn as much as they can before they start the process, and build a relationship with an agency, figure out what process and what agency works best for you, build that relationship, and then move forward.
In addition to all that, I would just like to say we have 190 children in Hamilton County that would love to find a home, so I would encourage you to go out to our website and look at the children available.
And again, you can find links to all of the websites at our website, wvxu.org. Go to the Impact Cincinnati page. I want to thank you all for being here. We are out of time, so there's much more we could talk about. We'll have to have you back sometime. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to Impact Cincinnati and 91.7 WVXU. My guests today were Adoption Connection of Cincinnati Director Sherry McCarthy, Program and Adoption Services Director of Catholic Charities of the Diocese of Covington, Monica Kuhlman, and Hamilton County Department of Job and Family Services Director Moira Weir. Archives of our programs are available on our website, wvxu.org. Producer for today's program was Pete Reitmeier.